plant care routines. The crucial part of every plant parent's plant care practice, say that three times fast, that ensures that our plants are happy and healthy. They give us a chance to check in with our plants on a routine basis to make sure that they are hydrated, pest-free, and growing. But I have found, my sweet plant friends, that a plant care routine is so much deeper than just a soil moisture check or a making sure that pests aren't annihilating your collection check. They are not only an opportunity for us to check in with our plants, but they're also an opportunity for us to check in with ourselves. When I went from plant killer to plant lady all those years ago, I found that I became as attracted and as lit up by my plant care routine as I was by my plants, because it was actually the routine of caring for them every day and having my coffee with them in the morning and that act of disconnecting with the screen in order to reconnect with these plants in nature that became a way for me to reconnect with myself and just clear some headspace by simply being with these plants. This like super mindfulness woo-woo thing isn't for everyone. I totally understand. Everybody's plant care routines are different. They're all little unique snowflakes. So I brought together a fantastic group of plant friends to have a new format of podcast episode called the Plant Friend Hang to dive deeper on this topic of plant care routines and how they differ. I am so excited to introduce you to these lovely plant people. So welcome to episode 130 of
Bloom and Grow Radio.
Plant friends, hello. I hope you've had beautifully planty weeks. We just moved again. So we're still in the Catskills, but we moved about an hour west of where we were in Woodstock. We're in Sullivan County. Any Sullivan County plant friends, DM me on Instagram. We don't know anyone here, but we're in a beautiful house on a bunch of property, another rental. We'll be moving again probably in the next 6 months. But anyway, I'm just moving and grooving. My plants made it. The move was a little stressful because I had my car full of plants, but everybody is good. We didn't lose one. So thrilled to report that. So I am so excited to officially introduce this new episode format that I'm planning on peppering in throughout the podcast throughout the year. We're still going to have the majority of the podcasts our normal, you know, information science-based interviews, but I'm starting these plant friend hangs where I curate these little panels of plant people and plant friends to discuss more social aspects of plants and plant care. I experimented with this format way back in December with the Managing a Large Urban Jungle episode, and you all seem to really like it. And frankly, plant friends, I really like these panels. I love connecting with all of these plant friends for these deeper, more social, fun, lighter interviews and conversations while I'm just like nestled in the mountains alone with the wild turkeys. So I hope you enjoy them. And if you have any ideas for people or panel topics you would want me to curate for us, let me know. So today we're joined by Tiffany from Plant Mama, Camille from Plant Blurred, and Paul from Plant Me Paul, those are all their Instagram handles, for an in-depth talk on plant care routines and how everyone's differ, and different aspects of plant care routines, tips, tricks, suggestions, insights. We actually get pretty deep in this conversation, and I'm really just real thankful to this beautiful group of planty souls who just showed up to share and connect. It was such a great conversation. I hope that you enjoy them as much as I did. Also, we teamed up to do a really fun giveaway alongside this episode, so you can go check out my Instagram at Bloom and Grow Radio for entry instructions. Special thanks to our newest Patreon supporter, Christina. Thank you so much for joining the group of planty souls who are supporting Bloom and Grow on a monetary basis on Patreon. And also, if you are interested in supporting Bloom and Grow Radio, a great way to do so is to join the Garden Party community platform and app. It is amazing. I guess we should call it an app because most of the people use the iOS and Android apps that this community platform I created are hosted on. It's so fun. There are so many people connecting, supporting, advising. It's literally a dream come true. You can click the link in the show notes to learn more about it. Maybe I will see you in the Garden Party. But for now, kick back and relax and enjoy Paul, Tiffany, and Camille for this really fun conversation. Hello, my plant friends. Welcome to Bloom and Grow Radio.
Hello, hello.
Hi, how are you?
Yay, that was take two of the welcome. So happy to have you guys, my guinea pigs for this new panel format of the podcast. So I have known you guys, some of you for years, you know, through social media or New York City meetups, and some recently through Clubhouse. So to get this started, before we have this conversation about plant routines and how they vary, can you all give us a little intro to who you are and a little about your plant collection? So Camille, do you want to start?
Sure. I'm Camille, also known as Plant Blurred, and I have been collecting plants, I feel like, my entire life. First outside, and then I purchased a fiddle leaf fig for a client, and that just flipped the switch for me, became all about the indoor plant.
A client meaning?
Interior design. Okay. I dabble.
Now, I saw on your, and I didn't know this about you when we met, but are you a lawyer first?
Used to be, reformed.
Lawyer turned interior designer turned plant enthusiast.
Yes, all of that. I stayed home with my first daughter 15 years ago, soon to be 16. Can't believe that. And, you know, when it came time that I kind of just fell into that. And when it came time to consider going back, I didn't really want to, and definitely not into legal. So I just have been kind of floating around until I figured it out. And I think that I have now.
That's so cool. I think it's so interesting. And what's so fun about plants is there's no cookie cutter stereotype of a plant person. Like, everybody's journey is so different. Very few people have degrees in it. And the journeys to how you get to where you currently are, I think, are more interesting than most other professions in my experience. What does your plant collection look like right now? How many are you at? Like, do you lean towards any certain types of plants?
So I have a rule, never, ever count. So I have plausible deniability.
I love that.
I have no idea.
Lawyer talk.
Exactly. Definitely in the hundreds.
So lawyer, plausible deniability. That's so funny.
Yeah, I have a willful blind eye. And right now I'm all about the Hoyas. Oh my God. I can't get enough. I want every Hoya. I don't care if I have a Hoya and I see that exact same Hoya at the store, I'm going to get it again. Just like so open. They're so interesting. It's all about texture. Even when I eat, like, it's all about texture more than even the taste or smell. I'm very tactile. And Hoyas, they just feel so good. They're all juicy and thick and They look all crazy. They have all these runners. I love Hoyas. So right now, they are definitely taking over the collection. They're like, you know, I keep threatening to give up the rest and just focus on Hoyas, but I doubt I'll ever do that. But
Hoyas are having such a moment this year.
Yeah.
They really are.
One of my most downloaded episodes of 2021, I think it aired, but was Hoyas with Doug Chamberlain of Vermont Hoyas. And he's just the king. Yeah. And yeah, they're such an interesting genus. That's so cool.
They really are. They're just, and so easy.
And they bloom.
They bloom. I got blooms this year.
A lot of people are like intimidated by Hoyas sometimes. And I think they're probably one of my most low maintenance plants. Like, absolutely. You kind of just set it and forget it sometimes until it produces a bloom and then you're all about it.
I think it's because, like, it really is one of those plant families that you never heard of before, right? Before you joined the gram, I'd never heard of a Hoya. Like, never, ever. Never have I ever. So I think that, you know, kind of like unknowingness about it and unfamiliarity is what intimidates.
Totally. Paul, did you say you have one that's about to bloom? Which one?
I think so, yeah. The Pupacalyx Splash. I only have one Hoya.
One. Oh my goodness.
So like Clubhouse, I didn't really jump on the Hoya bandwagon. So I'm not a huge Hoya fan, but I did like this one. And it's finally going to bloom for me soon. So I'm really excited. I feel like I should slow lapse it.
Yeah.
I was going to say, you're obviously going to create some great content around that.
But I'm really excited. Like, took forever. But it's also only growing in perlite. I've never put it in soil.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
I think you're going to fall down the rabbit hole because Once mine bloomed for me, it was all Hoyas for me.
Oh, yeah. Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe. We'll see what it looks like. We'll see. I don't know what the blooms look like, but I want to be surprised. So I'm excited.
Oh, that's so fun. Well, what about you, Paul? You want to tell us a little about you and your collection?
Sure. So my name is Paul, aka Plant Me Paul. I live in New York City. I'm a high school chemistry teacher. And I started collecting plants like, I don't know, 5 years ago or so. I had my first plant right out of grad school, and it was a pothos. It was like nice and easy.
Yep.
Back when I really didn't know a lot about plants, but I knew like it would droop. And so like, okay, you're thirsty. And then it would perk back up. A few hours later when I got home from work. So I'm glad I started easy and didn't get like a cactus, which a lot of people kind of get, which I never really recommend as a beginner plant. And then I moved apartments and I got like this planter of like three plants, one of which I only knew what it was. It was a palm. The other two, I had no idea what they were. And that kind of just blossomed and did well. And I was like, oh, well, maybe I'm pretty good at this. So let me keep adding a little more. And I just kind of been down that endless rabbit hole since then. So now I have, I do count. Well, I did count. I also named. I even have an Excel file where I try and keep track of all the names. So I'm a little over 100 right now, but I don't know the exact number.
In a small apartment too, right?
Yeah, my apartment's like, I don't know, maybe 600 square feet or something. I mean, it's a small two-bedroom apartment.
I feel like your collection is pretty varied. Do you feel like you gravitate towards any certain types of plant?
I definitely like more tropicals than arids. Definitely like philodendrons, anthuriums. So the not so common ones I've been kind of getting into, but I still love a good old like pothos. Can't go wrong with those. Or a snake plant. I have lots of snake plants. ZZs.
I feel like pothos are kind of having a moment as well. Like Hoyas are the big plant, but I feel like I'm seeing a lot more like different kind of species of pothos and different variations of different variegations and stuff. I feel like they're kind of coming back.
I mean, there's so many and they're just so easy. And I feel like they're very forgiving, can handle a wide range of light. I think it should be in everyone's collection.
Everybody. Absolutely. I agree.
Yeah.
Yep.
Totally.
I think I saw a TikTok recently about how someone was saying pothos is like that one roommate that comes over and never leaves. Like they're always growing everywhere and they can take over too.
Yeah.
They're that one friend that never leaves.
Totally. And they're forgiving. What you said, Paul, I had the same experience when I was growing my plant collection to not kill it. Like when I started this show, the pothos, like, I feel like I need to make a pothos appreciation post because the things I put that poor plant through, I just did not know any better. I underwatered it. I overwatered it. I left it in an apartment that got 95 degrees for a week. Like I went on vacation and didn't even think about like, you know, room temp when I had left. And it's just such a forgiving plant. Like it's such a great beginner plant because it really will, it'll truck through it with you, you know?
Yep.
Yeah.
And I feel like you cannot get that full indoor jungle vibe without pothos.
I mean, the trailing pothos right here.
Yeah.
A juicy trailing pothos. Totally. Oh, I love it. And what about you, Miss Tiffany? A very exotic collection.
So my name is Tiffany Ma, also known as Plant Mama on Instagram and TikTok. I'm an environmental engineer and plant consultant based out of Toronto, Canada. For me, I've always been surrounded by houseplants growing up. My dad was an avid outdoor gardener. But when I really got into houseplants was back in 2017, I want to say. I was going through a pretty rough time. I had a traumatic brain injury, so I couldn't do any of the normal routines that I normally was able to do. And I was trying to do something that didn't involve any screens. And I don't know what called me to go to a plant shop, but I went to a plant shop and was completely enamored with all the green, felt completely at peace and didn't have that like, because with the traumatic brain injury, I had pounding headaches with any type of stimulus, right? So plants were really that gateway to healing for me. And yeah, ever since then, never turned back, been fully into houseplants now. I think my very first houseplant ever was a snake plant, very forgiving as well. I still have it to this day, and it's one of those really straggly looking snake plants that are way too tall and way too skinny as well, not full at all. But yeah, it's so sentimental to me, so I keep it and I let it do its thing. In terms of my houseplant collection, I, like Camille, have never counted. I don't want to know the number. I am very much a Hoya ho. I don't know if I can say that, but
sure, you can say that. Go for it.
Yes.
Love them. I love them to death. Like I love them so much. I'm completely fascinated by the fact that they're so diverse in terms of foliage, texture, and blooms. Like
the
fact that every single bloom is unique in not only appearance, but also smell.
Yep.
And it's just so rewarding. Like, new leaves are super rewarding, but when they bloom
when
for you
get that peduncle, it's like,
yep. Oh, When you get that first peduncle, it's the best feeling, honestly. Ever since I experienced my first bloom, like, I never look back. Like, Hoyas are the ones that I will continue collecting.
Yep.
Yeah, they're definitely like my most collected houseplant, but man, do they get pricey.
Yeah.
Especially when you get into the more uncommon, rare ones.
Right.
But wow, their blooms are just absolutely stunning. I think my favorite bloom to date that I've experienced was the Hoya caudata Sumatra.
Ooh.
They are this fuzzy bloom. You can look onto my Instagram for it, but they're literally fuzzy. Like, they have hairs on them.
Wow.
And they smell like this sweet, almost like a sweet fruity smell, but also like a mix of like your grandma's perfume. Like, it was a weird mix, but absolutely in love with Hoyas.
Mm.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to channel that energy with my new bloom, and hopefully maybe then I might jump on the bloom bandwagon. So
yes, I hope so.
We'll see.
I'm really into the idea. Lately, I've just been thinking a lot about like engaging all my senses with my plant collection, not just my eyes. And scent, I feel like, is kind of the trickiest one when you think of all five of them, I guess, besides taste. But I grow a lot of edible
plants. You're not tasting your plants? No.
I'm tasting the chives that I'm growing. That's why Hoyas are appealing to me, because I feel like they could kind of unlock that scent aspect. Lavender is kind of too hard. I've never succeeded with growing lavender indoors. So I feel like growing some like nice smelly blooming plants could be like a really fun way to just kind of expand that visceral experience of caring for plants. But getting into caring for plants, I've assembled you all here today to talk about plant care routines, because I think it's really interesting. I think, you know, having large plant collections is like touted. And I think Instagram and TikTok and all the medias that we're on has definitely like made having a large plant collection cool and super popular. But like, in order to grow anything, in order to grow a business, in order to grow any collection of anything, you need systems in place and you need some organization. And I think plant care routines mean so many different things to so many different people and are super important. And I don't know, I feel like they don't get talked about as much. So you guys all seem to be really nailing it. I was thinking we could start with a fun icebreaker. What's the weirdest thing? And I'll go first because this is a weird question, but like, what's the weirdest thing you do with your plants, like on a routine basis? So mine would definitely be that I have grow lights on timers, which is part of my routine, is I know that my grow lights need to be on timers or they're not going to do what they need to do. And when my grow lights go off at night, I'll say goodnight to my plants. So like my Soltec light will go off over Figaro, my fiddle leaf, and I'll be like, good night, Figaro.
I love that.
Like a real weirdo, like a real, like the real plant weirdo that I am. Do you guys do any weird things with your plants?
I'll jump in. I like when my kids were little, I would do this sing-songy voice, like, you know, the infant sing-song. I absolutely, hey, babies, good morning. How are you? Mommy's so glad to see you. And I'll have like full conversations. Sometimes, you know, someone from the other room will be like, what? Then they'll catch themselves. Oh, you're talking to the plants, right? Like, it's like a full, like, we're talking, like, mm-hmm. for real.
But doesn't it feel so good?
It feels so good.
It feels so good doing that.
Yeah, last night I gave them a little pep talk. I'm like, mommy's going away. I'll be back. Just need you all just to hang in there. Just be chill.
Don't die on me.
Right. Don't die on me. I want you all to look exactly as you do now when I get back.
Yeah, Support each other. Be nice. Don't give each other pests.
Exactly.
Be
nice. That's exactly right.
That's amazing. What about you, Tiff or Paul?
For me, I do sometimes talk to my plants and definitely name them, but I don't know if this is weird or not, but I routinely bring in beneficial insects into my plants.
Mm, that's cool.
It was ever since, we can get into this later, but I had a terrible thrips infestation, went down the rabbit hole of trying so many different things. Here in Canada, we don't have access to the strong stuff that you guys have available in the States. We don't have systemic. We don't have bonide. I think you guys have a couple of other good products. So I had to go the organic route and got into the rabbit hole of beneficial insects. And now that I've gotten the pest situation under control, now it's like a routine, like every couple months, I replenish the population of beneficial insects in my greenhouse.
So I have it actually way back in my feed, an episode on this with Summerrain Oaks, who has like a degree in bugs and entomology or whatever that fancy word is. I'm curious, what do you release? Is it lace wings? Is it ladybugs? What's your insect of choice? Do you have upcoming travel to a different country scheduled, or maybe you have a relative or a friend who speaks a different language that you want to connect with on a deeper level? Why not easily learn a new language with my favorite language learning tool, Rosetta Stone? I recently went to Italy and I brushed up on my Italian by using the Rosetta Stone app for like 20 minutes every morning. It was so easy to use. It was part of my morning practice. It was really fun. And let me tell you, Rosetta Stone works. It brushed me up so good. I was getting around Italy easily speaking Italian after putting those reps in. If you don't already know, Rosetta Stone is the trusted language learning tool available on desktop or as an app. Rosetta Stone has 30 years of experience, millions of users, and 25 languages offered. It makes language learning so fun, so easy, and so fast. It immerses you in the language, which is the fastest way to learn. So it's an intuitive process with no English translation, so you really learn to speak, listen, and think in the language. It even coaches you on pronunciation with its true accent feature, which is like basically having a physical trainer for your accent. It's so wild. The desktop and app options make it so easy to do consistently, and it's an amazing value. Lifetime membership has all 25 languages forever for any and all trips and language needs in your entire life. So this year I brushed up on my Italian, but next year Billy and I want to go to Japan so we could learn conversational Japanese with it. That's lifetime access to 25 language courses Rosetta Stone has to offer, and right now they're offering 50% off. It's an insane steal. So don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, Growing Joy with Plants listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life, plant friends. It's an insane deal. Redeem 50% off at Rosetta, R-O-S-E-T-T-A, stone.com/today.
I love that you mentioned Summerrain because it was her video that inspired me to get beneficial insects. So yeah, I started off with, because I'm a little bit squeamish when it comes to bugs, especially like actually bringing them into my home willingly and not by accident. So I started off with the smaller ones like Swirsky mites. Those ones just come in like little sachets that you can just hang onto your plants. And I wanted something that wasn't visible. Like I didn't want to see them. I didn't want to know where they were going. Like I just wanted them to do their thing, be my little army and kill the bad bugs. But Swirsky mites aren't effective when it comes to eating or preying on the adult thrips. And so they're only effective with like the larvae stage of thrips. So I needed to bring in more of the big guns. So the ones that will prey on the adults and actually like kill the population. So that's when I went down green lace wings, pirate beetles. I've also tried. Right now, I'm only doing the Swirsky mites just as a preventative measure. But when it was really bad, I had to bring in the green lace wings, which was pretty nerve wracking because I don't know if you've ever like seen them in person, but they are massive. Like,
oh, okay. I was interested.
Camilla's like, I'm out. No, thank you.
I'm out.
Yeah. Now, what happens when they eat everything? Do they just die off?
Yeah, they die off. If you don't have the ideal conditions for them, they'll just die off. If they don't have the prey, they'll just die off. Their nickname, the green lacewings nickname, is actually, I think, like aphid lions. So that just sounds super intimidating in itself. And if you like go really close in and like actually look at them, they look menacing as hell. Like they have little pincers.
No, that's not going to work.
And I was told that they would never become full adults. Like I got the green lacewing larvae because they don't fly and I didn't want them flying around in my house.
Right.
And I remember very clearly going into my greenhouse one day and seeing an adult green lacewing and I like shit my pants. Like I was so scared. Like I was like, oh my God, if one became an adult, I might have, because I released like 500. Like I released a lot.
Oh my.
And I was like,
okay, so just some context for this. Two things. Tiffany is in Canada, which you've learned. And two, the reason why I met Tiffany was in Clubhouse discussing this green. Tiffany has a greenhouse in her house. She made a greenhouse inside her house.
Oh, okay.
So are you releasing the lace wings only in your greenhouse, or are you releasing them all over your apartment?
So the green lace wings was only in my greenhouse.
Okay. Oh, so you can contain them a little bit. Okay. No?
I thought I could contain them, and I thought that they would. But I kid you not, I had a green lace wing larvae in my coffee one morning, and I had no idea how it got there.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Nope.
That's intense.
Yeah.
That definitely qualifies. I wouldn't call it weird. I think maybe I should have reframed this question. Interesting. What's the most interesting, unique thing you do? And that's definitely very interesting. But also, like, you're not the only person I know that does that. When you have large collections, you can't wipe every single plant down with hydrogen peroxide every day. Like, and if you get an infestation, sometimes you need to kind of take out the big guns, like you said. So that's super interesting.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
What about you, Paul?
I don't know if I really do anything particularly interesting or unique. I mean, kind of what was mentioned before, I definitely will like have a little pep talk every time I leave for a few days or if I'm leaving vacation. So I just got back from Fire Island last week and I definitely kind of gave him a little pep talk and waved goodbye and said, please don't die. And when I came back, some actually had grown a little bit. So like I'm growing an avocado plant and that leaf had kind of like tripled its size in 1 week. I don't know how, but I'd like to rotate my plants a lot so that they kind of get full. So I guess that's maybe one thing I do. So I try and keep track of how often I'm rotating stuff so it doesn't get too big on one side.
You're rotating them in and out of your window?
Yeah, just like wherever they are, I'll just rotate it like 180 just so it's kind of looking full all over.
Oh, you rotate the actual pots?
Yeah.
So that leaning. Sorry. I thought you were saying like you move the plants around your apartment.
Oh, no. Okay. I try not to do that too much because I don't want them to get too stressed. But yeah, if they're getting natural light. For the grow lights, because it's just kind of like top down, like I don't really do that. But for the ones that are just really getting only natural light, I'll try and rotate them.
And this isn't weird by any means. This is a separate question because the answer is, what's the most fabulous thing you do with your plants? How often are you doing your plant care in your heels? Because that is you've made some fabulous videos of your plant care routines in like higher heels than I own on your Instagram.
Not too often, but every now and then, you know, the mood is right and got the right music and the weather is good and everything. Just, you know,
you got to put on a show for them. Yeah.
Yeah. I got to put on a show and just, you know, definitely like putting on music because it takes me at least 45 minutes, depending on how much I water. And within that time, or probably like half that time, it's just bloopers of me spilling water or knocking something. Or like if I could have just someone follow me, terribly sad, but funny. Bloopers video I can make of just like watering and just like all the stupid things I do and spilling and everything. So, but yeah, I do try and do that just to kind of get them in the mood.
Yeah. Give them a little show. Well, that's the perfect transition. So let's start with you for the next question. What does your plant care routine look like on like a daily, weekly, monthly, quarterly basis generally? So you said it takes about 45 minutes to water. Is that like once a week or are you spending 45 minutes every day?
No. About once a week. It's funny because I just like posted this on my story yesterday. So like I had watered them just before I left Fire Island and I haven't watered them since I've been back, the bulk of them. And so my one tip to new plant people or to clients I work with is like, don't feel like you have to be on a strict schedule for watering. Like so many people, especially when they're new, they're like, well, they told me at the nursery, I have to water every week. So I watered it Saturday. So next Saturday is here. So I have to water it again. And I'm like, no, don't feel like you're in a schedule. Like, right, test the soil, feel it by weight, do whatever you need to do. If it's dry, then water it. If not, then, you know, don't worry about it. So I haven't watered most of my plants. It's been almost 2 weeks. I mean, maybe they hate me. I don't know. They seem to be okay. So I'll eventually get to it. I've just kind of been kind of lazy. So about once a week, I will water them. But as I said, it's not all of them. So my succulents, I'll leave alone for a little bit longer. Mm-hmm. It's just like most of the aroids that I'll make sure that I water about every week. Daily, I'm kind of just like checking in on them to make sure, you know, that there's no pests, see if there's any growth, anything weird or anything like that. And then every once in a while, I will throw them in the shower. I find like the Stromanthe or my Maranta behind me or anything when it gets a shower as opposed to just watering, like really seems to enjoy that. So, and it's good just to kind of get the dust off. So I try and be good about dusting the leaves at least like once a month, but it just kind of depends.
And how often are you showering them, do you think?
I don't shower all of them, just like kind of like the big ones, but maybe like 2 or 3 times a month.
Yeah, I love that. I go in and out of phases where I take my plants in the shower. It really depends. Also, I've had so many different homes in the last year. Some showers are more accommodating than others. And I'm too scared to take them outside to hose them down. I'm scared they're going to get pests because I'm like in the middle of the woods right now. But yeah, I think it's super fun. And it feels like you're kind of recreating a real tropical rainstorm or something for them. And once again, when you have a lot of plants, showering them is a lot easier than hand wiping every single leaf.
Yeah.
You know, for 3 hours, you can just stick them in the shower and that shower is going to rinse those leaves off, which is so nice.
Mm-hmm. And not only the dust, but potential pests that might, or eggs that might be lying in around the crevices, right?
Yeah. I always have those, so...
Yeah. I know. Yeah. Pests are, it's not if, it's when, really. You're going to get pests. And what kind?
Exactly.
That's awesome. What about you, Tiff?
So yeah, on a day-to-day basis, you know what? I am definitely one of those people that tend to be an overwaterer, but at the same time can be an underwaterer too, because I'll go on periods of neglect.
I can totally relate.
On some of those plants. What's really great is that most of my plant collection is very forgiving, or at least I've trained them to be very forgiving because of those periods of neglect. Like, I struggle with mental health issues, so sometimes it's hard for me to really get to my plants every single day. But yeah, like Paul was saying, when it comes to a weekly routine, like, it's not a set schedule in terms of watering. Get your moisture meter out, make sure that it is actually time for that watering. But, you know, those periods when I have a period of neglect when it comes to watering my plants, I'll end up having to water all 100 plus of my plants. And that takes up a good 2-3 hours of my day because of how many plants I have. I sometimes like to bottom water, which can save time and also waste time, because sometimes I have a fungus gnat infestation and I'll want to bottom water them just so the top layer of soil is dry. And I find that sometimes bottom watering can really help save time when it comes to just setting it in the tub of water and letting it soak up. When it comes to more of a monthly plant maintenance routine, definitely wiping down my plants. Because I went through a really bad pest infestation, I'm pretty adamant about wiping down my plants at least once a month with like a neem oil castile soap spray. I will also shower my plants every now and then, especially like the bigger ones, the ones that have the moss poles, because those moss poles get real crispy real fast. So
they do.
The shower really does help with that. But I find that like the next day, next 2 days, they'll get crispy again. So it's hard to keep.
Next hour.
I give up on trying to keep those moss poles moist.
Yeah,
same.
I have a plant parent personality test, and I have these different profiles of different types of plant parent personalities. Mindful plant parents are people who want to like engage with their plants every day. But it sounds like you and me also can overwater because you're like wanting to love on your plants too much. And I think moss poles are a fantastic solution to that, because you can just water your moss pole every hour on the hour. And like, you're not going to have a problem. Like, go to town on that moss pole. You'll feel like you're engaging with the plant and the moss pole will be moist and it'll keep drying out no matter what you do to it. You know?
Exactly. The best invention that was created for plant parents is those automatic misters, so that you don't always have to be like spraying, like the ones that you just press a button and they're just spraying. Those are so great for the moss poles.
Yeah.
But yeah, they do get crispy real fast. And then just to add to my routine, it would definitely have to be the beneficial insects that I was talking about before, topping those up on like a 2-3 month basis, just as a preventative measure, because I don't want to deal with another thrips infestation again.
I love that. Yeah, it's interesting. There's the maintenance and then there's like the refresh. It sounds like both of you and Camille, I'm excited to hear what your routine is, but I know that's for me too. So Camille, similar, different, what's your experience?
I would say strikingly similar to Tiffany's. I am a less is more kind of plant parent. Like, my plants have to be able to survive on a little benign neglect. And in kind of like figuring out who I am as a plant parent, that has made my collection evolve. Like, initially I was all about the Calatheas and you know, who they are and who I am, they just don't line up.
Yep.
You know,
yep.
They need way more than I have to give. So now I went from like 20 of them to I'm down to the last four. And I think that, you know, the last four are probably, if you ever want to call them easy, and I'm using the air quotes here, you know, the rattlesnake, the peacock. What's the other one that I have left? The fachada, you know, the really darker,
thicker, the hardier ones. Yeah.
The hardier ones. Those are the last few standing. So my plants totally have to be able to survive a real drought. Mm-hmm. Like when I go in to water them, that soil is dry. It will literally rise up. The whole block of it when I go back to rewater it. Because there's, you know, like social media will have you thinking like we spend all our time with these plants. I'm so busy off of the gram. So my plants just have to be able to really withstand that. And I have seasonal care. So in the summertime, they all move outside. I have a huge covered porch and I get bugs when they're indoors, so I'm not afraid of bugs, you know. Well, I do. I hate them. But I mean, like, pests are kind of like just par for the course with plants. So every time I'm saying I'm bringing them outside, everybody's first thing, oh, what about bugs? When they're not outside, you know, I'm battling spider mites or fungus gnats. So it's like, whatever. But before they come back in, I do a real aggressive, like, silkwood hose down, then it's the bone-eyed systemics, and you know, everybody's getting neemed. Some soil will be refreshed. So far, I'm knocking on wood, I haven't, you know, brought anything crazy in from their summers outdoors. So that's my seasonal care.
Espoma Organics is a family-owned and operated company dedicated to making safe indoor and outdoor gardening products for pets, people, and the planet. Plant friends, we know I wax poetic about Espoma all the time. On the podcast, on my Instagram, in my garden, I've been using their potting mixes and fertilizers for years now. And what I kind of love that's been surprising is as my collection has grown, the way I use their products has also changed and grown. So on the episode this week, I talk about my kind of lazy girl homemade potting mix, which I'm using on a lot of my aeroids right now. It's 50% of the Espoma potting mix and then 50% of the Espoma orchid mix, because the orchid mix already has all of those different amendments like bark, horticultural charcoal, or perlite that people might be buying individually to adding into their mixes. I just do it the lazy girl way and I just get the orchid mix and use that with the potting mix. But most of my houseplants are just potted in their standard potting mix or cactus mix with no amendments, and those plants are very happy as well. But if you like to kind of get tactile and get like mixing your own mixes, that's kind of been what I've been enjoying lately. I also wanted to give a shout out to their citrus tone. Oh my God, it's their citrus-specific fertilizer. And plant friends, we put Limey in Melody's garden this summer, and I've been feeding him more regularly with the citrus tone, and he is a different freaking plant. He is flourishing in a way that I haven't seen him so happy in a while. If you're trying citrus, use the citrus tone. And also, if you're trying tomatoes, I totally recommend their tomato tone, which is their tomato-specific fertilizer for like a late-season feed. Whatever you're growing, Espoma Organics has the potting mix, compost, or tone fertilizer for you. Check out their amazing indoor and outdoor gardening products at espoma.com and find your local Espoma dealer, or check my Amazon storefront for my favorite picks. Plant friends, Sol Tech Solutions, one of my favorite grow light companies, has amazing bundles for your plant's lighting needs that also can have you saving up to $100. So whether you're starting out with a plant corner that you need to illuminate, or maybe you're installing an epic green wall that you think could use a little bit more light, or you just have a lot of plants and you need some more grow lights to keep growing your collection, the Sol Tech Solution Decor Grow Lights allow you to keep your plants healthy and happy, all while fitting in seamlessly and beautifully into your home. You know that I have three of the Sol Tech hanging pendant style aspect lights. They're all over my Instagram and YouTube channels. Recently, I've been plugging their Vita grow bulbs into all my lamps. So I have a floor lamp and a desk lamp that I swapped out with the Vita grow bulbs to illuminate my desk and living room. I'm really excited now that we've moved to get kind of creative with their lights again. So if you're looking to get started, these bundles are a really nice option for you if you need accessories in addition to the lights, or if you're thinking of installing a green wall, because you can get the bundle that sells the Wally Grow pockets and the green wall lighting, and you're like set up to go. All you need is the plants. So if you are interested, there's no coupon necessary. You just have to go to soltechsolutions.com and check out all of the bundles that they have to offer and save up to 20%. All right, back to the show. I think bringing plants outside for the summer is such a great idea. And I think as long as it's like totally worth it, if you just do all the steps that you mentioned at the end, like you can't bring your plants outdoors and then just bring them back inside. You're asking for trouble, but it's totally worth it. You know what? It's going to take a couple hours in the fall for you to spray everyone down and like make sure that quarantine them when you bring them in. But for like 4 months outside on your porch and them getting more sun and, you know, probably growing a lot more significantly than indoors, it sounds like it's totally worth it.
Yep. I have Hoyas that did literally nothing for an entire year.
Right.
They are going crazy right now. They are putting out so much new growth. I mean, they just love it. And the summers in New York are swampy. You know, and I live in an old Victorian with 10-foot ceilings. I cannot, no humidifier is going to tackle that dry air. There's nothing I can do, you know, to raise the moisture in my house during the wintertime. So summer, you know, they get to live their like full best lives. That's what. And I get to water as messy as I want. I'm a mess when it comes to water. Yeah.
I was about to say with Hoyas, I find that they are great for those plant parents that are more neglectful, just because I find that Hoyas kind of thrive on that drought period. Do you find that too, Camille? Just because
they're tropical succulents, you know, unlike desert succulents, but they don't need to be watered often at all.
And I find that it even is beneficial, especially if you want to encourage blooms for Hoyas.
Yes.
Yeah, because it puts them into that survival mode and they'll want to push out blooms so that they can pollinate and survive, right? So I went through like a 2-week no watering of my Hoyas, not on purpose, but I was struggling with my mental health at that moment. And when I came back, that is when a Hoya bloomed for me. And it was crazy because it was like such a welcoming gift to like
go back. Such a gift, right?
To go back to my greenhouse and see that was just so like, wow, like all I needed to give you was a little neglect to for you to bloom.
Yeah. Right. They're into a little S&M.
I love that.
It's like you treat them bad and they really reward you.
And they really reward you. Well, Tiffany, you brought something up. I just wanted to say thank you for being so transparent about you've mentioned your mental health struggles. And I just wanted to say like what you're saying resonates so much with me this year, this winter, like went through some big personal struggles and have noticed that my plant care routine and my self-care routine and my mental wellness and the state of my plants are so intrinsically connected. It's crazy.
Yeah.
And I actually had a big wake up call when I looked around my plants and like none of my plants were happy. Like I had just noticed like a couple of them were so underwatered. I didn't even realize, but like their roots had dried up and like had no more roots. And I thought they were overwatered. It was a whole thing. But I looked around my plant collection one day and I was like, wow, like these aren't looking so great. And then I kind of just took a minute and I was like, yeah, I'm not doing so great. Right. If I'm not taking the time to care for my plants, which is like a pillar of who I am, there's something off. And then I made it a commitment. Well, number one, get back in therapy. And number two, I had to interact with my plants once a day, every day, whatever it looked like. So my plant care routine, I kind of swung from being this very mindful plant parent, someone who interacts every day with my plants. I've also moved 3 times in the last year. So
that's a lot.
My plants have also just been in very different spaces and I haven't been personally in a routine, but it was very interesting, the shift of routine and the shift of me being moving into more of a low maintenance plant parent because I live in a much more low light home. So also I just need low light tolerant plants. I can't fill like my entire house with grow lights.
Right.
But that act of being like, okay, I'm going to interact with my plants once a day. This is going to feel a little foreign right now, but I'm just going to do it. And I saw like my plant collection come back to life and I felt myself come back to life. And it was just this weird routine-based thing. And I just think it's a very interesting thing to kind of keep tabs on, just that I'm noticing in my personal routine, even though now I'm definitely more of a low maintenance plant parent, I've noticed all of my high maintenance plants are gone. Like they've all departed.
They've all left.
I got lots of Monsteras, lots of Dracaenas, lots of Pothos and Philodendron, like my happy plants, you know, my happy hardy plants. And then I'm just engaging with them in different ways. So my next question is, because I've gone through this huge transition with the way I'm interacting with plants, like, have you guys noticed that your plant care routine has evolved as your collections have evolved and as your just selves have evolved? You know, like, you've all been doing this for a long time. Have your routines pretty much stayed the same? And there's no right answer. Have they pretty much stayed the same and they're what ground you, or have they kind of fluctuated as your collections have fluctuated?
Yeah, they completely have evolved. And because it's not sustainable to have, for me, you know, a bunch of plants that I have to spend a lot of high maintenance care with, you know, monitoring the light, monitoring humidity, water levels, you know, because I have real life human kids, you know, that I also have to monitor their light, monitor their water levels, you know.
Forget plant babies. You have human babies.
Right. Exactly. I got human babies and just like so many other things. So I think one of the things that doesn't get discussed enough in plant collecting, it's not a passive hobby.
Yeah. You know,
even if your routine is kind of low maintenance, it's a lot that goes into caring for all of these plants. And, you know, it just makes you kind of like reevaluate a lot of things. And I always say, like, plant care is self-care. I don't want to resent my plants. So they have to be, you know, they've got to be kind of easygoing because they're supposed to be joyful and relaxing and a point of peace. If I'm feeling stressed out about these plants that need to be like breathed on and misted and
totally,
that's not enjoyable. So my routine has evolved as kind of like reality sets in about what plants really can live in my care.
It sounds like from what you've shared, you have a really good grasp on having it be okay to let go of plants. And I feel like a lot of people feel stressed, like they want to collect and grow their plant collection, but once they buy something, they have to keep it. And if it doesn't work for them, then they're a failure. But like giving plants away, that's, you're like Santa Claus.
That's it.
If you have a fancy plant and you don't want it anymore and you gift it to a friend, and maybe that friend then becomes a plant person because it's the perfect plant for their lifestyle.
Circle of life.
Yeah, it's the circle of life.
Exactly.
And it needs to be part of plant parenthood, you know, because I think that's not spoken about as much as like the new plant that I got, you know, and it's all good.
I think that especially something that's not really spoken about is exactly that. But also, like, I felt so much guilt and shame whenever I killed a plant early on in my plant parenthood journey. And as I started growing a following on Instagram, I wanted to make sure that I was using my platform to share the ups and downs of plant parenthood, not just all the glossy, pretty,
right, exactly,
green photos, right? Like, I really wanted to show the nitty gritty, like, plants will die.
And that's okay.
And that's okay.
You are still a good person. You are still worthy.
Exactly. And I think that when I started sharing that, I even got a little bit scared because I'm like, oh, people will judge me. Like, I'm not a good plant consultant. Like, will people think of me as an expert in the field? Like, blah, blah, blah. But I was like, no, like, this is part of it. Like, I felt that guilt and shame for so long that I wanted to make sure that other plant parents didn't have to hold that alone, that type of guilt and shame alone. And
right.
As soon as I started posting about, you know, the realness behind plant parenthood, I got flooded with messages being like, oh, thank you so much for sharing about this, because I thought I was the only one. I thought I was a bad plant parent. I thought I was a bad person, you know, for letting pests come into my home or for letting my plants die. But I think it's such an inevitable part of plant parenthood that we need to shine a light on as part of the plant community.
It's how you learn, man. You kill a plant, you learn what you did wrong.
Exactly.
Right. If you're not killing plants, then you're doing it all wrong.
Yeah, man. Exactly.
You got to kill some plants. Yeah.
Totally. Totally.
Learn from those mistakes. Yeah.
What about you, Paul? Have you ebbed and flowed with your routine, or has it pretty much stayed the same?
I guess for me, it's kind of stayed the same. I haven't really had too many changes. I guess more of just what I've tried to do is just learn more about a plant before I just bring it into my house. Before I was like, oh, you're pretty, I'm bringing you home.
Right.
And now I want to like learn a little more about it just to know that it's suitable. I think too many people see plants as decor. to like accentuate their home as opposed to like this living thing. And so I want to learn like what its needs are and just kind of give it the best environment. I mean, I'm no botanist, I'm no expert, but having a science background, I try and apply science to plants to make it make sense. And that's what I want people to realize is like, let's make it make sense. So what kind of light does it need? What kind of humidity, water, soil, all that, so that, or when I bring a plant home to make sure I quarantine it, like I used to never do that, just kind of like throw it in. So like just little things here and there that I found have helped make me feel more confident and more successful. Yeah.
That life experience will only teach you quarantining your plants until exactly. that one plant infects your whole collection right. with spider mites. You're like not going to do it.
So, we've all gone through it.
Totally. So what's your favorite plant chore and what's your least favorite plant chore in your plant care routine? Tiffany, I'm going to guess yours is releasing adult spider lacewing larva.
Totally my favorite, right?
That's your favorite? Is it really?
Being sarcastic. Just in case sarcasm doesn't translate in audio. Let's see. I wouldn't say it's my least favorite, like about in terms of releasing lacewings. I think my least favorite would probably be repotting, especially when it comes to like the big beasts like behind me. Like it can be a pretty big chore. I am definitely one of those people that will let it go root bound until it's like screaming for me to repot it.
Yeah.
Bursting out the seams of the pot. I'll procrastinate on repotting as much as I can. In terms of my favorite plant chore, it would probably be wiping down leaves. Like there's something so therapeutic about throwing on a podcast and just zoning out and just like wiping down my leaves. I think it's also the leaf shine, like just seeing it glisten and just being able to admire your plant's foliage and all its beauty and glory after like wiping them. And just, really being able to like connect with your plants. I'm definitely a very tactile learner and a tactile person. Like I really need to get in there nitty gritty and like get in there. So yeah, I do like wiping the leaves down, but it only happens like once a month because it can get very taxing when it comes to a big plant collection.
Yeah, it's such a great tactile way of and also a great way to like really take a look at your plant and be like, oh yeah, there is a little spider mite strings at the base, or oh, there is scale on the bottom of the leaves. You know, it's a nice way to like stay in touch with them, you know? What about you, Camille?
It's going to sound like I'm totally like biting everything Tiffany says, but I swear to God, I hate repotting. I just loathe that task completely. And I'll let them go until the roots are all coming out of the bottom and I just can't put it off any longer, whether it's a big plant.
I will say though, sorry to interrupt you. I feel like people repot too soon and then have an overpotted plant more than they have an underpotted plant. Like I think plants are a little more resilient and people get root rot from overpotting a plant more.
Exactly.
So like, I'm not mad about what either of you guys are saying and I'm definitely guilty of it as well.
No, they like to be cozy. They actually like that, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm doing them a favor, leaving them in that pot.
Yeah.
I have a Cebu Blue right now. I mean, it sits in like a saucer, but it has like sides, almost like a bowl. And I happened to lift it out the other day. Oh my God, the roots are trailing. I guess I should take care of that before I leave. But that is my least favorite chore. My favorite is giving them a good shower, a good hose down. I love when they get, you know, to get wet. It's a pain moving everybody over to wherever they are. That's also why I love when they're outside because I can just do it so easily. Love to give them a good hosing down.
I love that. What about you, Paul?
I would say my least favorite is definitely treating pests. It's just such a nuisance. And at first, I was always felt so defeated, but kind of like what Tiffany was saying before, like, you know, things happen, not to get too worked up. Right. If you get a pass, like deal with it and then move on. But it just seems like a never ending cycle, especially when you
sometimes we're bringing them home with us. We don't, they're always there.
Yeah. So if you're going to have like more than just ZZs and snakes, you're inevitably going to get pests if you're going to have a few plants. So just something to keep in mind. I would say maybe favorite, and maybe it's kind of like twofold. I really enjoy making my own potting mix. Just like mixing all the ingredients together, getting, just feeling it and just seeing like because everyone's mix can be so different, but they're all so good. And that something I think that doesn't get talked about a lot is the importance of soil, right? We always talk about light and water, but I think soil, a good soil mix, a well aerated soil mix, can be so good for a plant to help it grow and be vital.
Okay, Paul, so what's your current mix ratio? What's your mad scientist equation?
So I have about maybe half soil, and then the other half is, or maybe like 30-35% like perlite, and then bark. And I used to add charcoal, but I don't know if I'm going to start adding charcoal anymore. I don't know if I really see the actual benefit to it. And then I'll add a little bit of mosquito bits to keep the fungus gnats away.
I'm hearing everybody talking about adding mosquito bits into their soil. And I feel like I've never heard of this before. That's so clever because they help with fungus gnats, right?
Yeah. Like this summer, I've not had a fungus gnat issue really at all. Last summer was really bad, but this summer I really haven't had a fungus gnat issue. And then sometimes I'll add Osmocote, which is like a slow release fertilizer.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Can I tell you my new lazy girl soil recipe, because I'm in my low maintenance? I just do half potting mix and then half orchid mix, because the orchid mix has the bark, the perlite, the charcoal, like the orchid mix has everything. So I just do the orchid mix and the potting mix instead of, because I used to love doing that, but I can't right now.
Yeah, that's my go-to too. Sometimes I'll add a little more perlite on top of that, but it's always the regular and the orchid mix. Mm-hmm.
I've also been into adding LECA bulbs into my soil mixes lately.
Oh, interesting.
Just for that extra drainage and just for those like air pockets so that oxygen gets into the roots more. But exactly what Paul was saying, like I love getting in there and mixing all the soil amenities together. It's so, so nice getting your hands all dirty.
Yeah, just very fluffy and like feels good.
Nice and chunky.
Yeah. And I guess like the other thing I like is I find it very satisfying when you're watering to see that like stream of water, I guess, coming through the bottom. Because I feel like a lot of people, they'll just like water a little bit. And like I always tell people, like you want like a stream. Like don't let it just little dabble. Like you want to make sure that soil is like fully saturated between your waterings. So like look for that nice stream and then your plant will be happy. So I like seeing that.
People misunderstand what overwatering is. It's not volume, it's frequency.
Exactly.
Yes, absolutely.
Give it that good drenching.
Huge misconception. I always say there's a huge difference between overwatering and watering too frequently.
Exactly.
If you have drainage, you can't really overwater your plant, I argue. But you can still water it too frequently.
But
if you don't have drainage, that's when overwatering becomes an issue.
I say water thoroughly, but not frequently.
Yeah.
Right. That's my like rule of thumb that I like to say. Because it is a thorough water. You want to mimic that rainfall, baby.
Exactly.
I call it drench and drought.
Oh, I love that.
Drench them, then let them dry all
drench
the way.
And drought, baby. Yeah. Drench.
I like that. D&D.
Yeah, D&D.
D&D, exactly.
I'm going to steal that from you, Camille.
D&D. Trademark.
Trademark.
I'm sure I didn't say it first.
Oh, I love it. I love it so much. So one of you mentioned an Excel sheet. So when we come at plant routines, do any of you guys use any tech, any journals? Like, do you keep yourself organized in any way in regards to your plant collection?
Just names for the Excel.
So you have an Excel sheet though? So it's just all the names of your plants or is it the watering? Like, do you have
the whole thing there? Names.
Okay.
I think when you do it as long as we've been doing, you kind of get a feel for... And that's kind of where you want to be, right? You don't want to be so dependent on just like going back to like, well, when did I do this or what day? Like, I mean, it's helpful at the beginning, but after a while, like you want to get used to by like, wait, right? How does it feel when I first water after like a week? Does it feel like it needs more water or good old finger in the soil? So
yeah, I agree with that.
I think you need to like just be in touch and like kind of learn and know when it's time to water, when it's not time to water.
Yep.
I think in the beginning of my plant parenthood journey, I was kind of relying on those plant apps like Planta to, you know, keep track of when I last fertilized or when I last repotted. But, you know, as my collection started growing, like ain't nobody got time to update those.
No, right. Exactly.
It was really cool in the beginning though, because I was like, it had a slot for you to take a photo of it and like kind of like give you like little references of, you know, when it was repotted, when it was fertilized, when it was last watered and stuff like that. But yeah, like what Paul was saying, I think as you grow with your plants, you start to realize when they look normal and when they look like they need more help or more loving. But yeah, I think just the moisture meter or the finger in the soil, like, lets you know when you need to water now. But I think early on, like any beginner plant parents out there, it's definitely good to start off with the apps, I think, just to, you know, if you want to be that type of person to stay organized with your routine.
I love that. Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, my whole mission with Bloom and Grow is like to help people like turn away from a care card and like into themselves. Because I think ultimately as a plant parent, like that's where you want to get, is being empowered to like know those things, you know, but there's so much you need to learn to be able to kind of know those things. You know, you have time is the only thing that's really going to get you to really understand that weight of what a well-watered plant of that pot feels like versus not, and having that intuition. So it's interesting to hear. It sounds like you, Camille, are you in the same boat that like maybe you started off recording and now you're more intuitive with it?
Well, I don't think I ever wrote anything down. I probably in the beginning kind of thought, oh, I'll keep them on a schedule. And then I quickly learned, well, no, because, you know, the Monstera doesn't need to be watered again like that Calathea does. So a schedule doesn't work. And it's just like when you're kind of like learning a new language, you hit fluency when you stop translating in your head. You know, like when you're learning the Spanish, when you stop thinking of the English in your head and you're just thinking Spanish in your head. So it's the same thing with plant parenting. When you stop using the crutches and kind of like go with the feeling, the gut, and like you said, turn inward, then you won't need the journals. You won't need the apps. It'll become second nature. But that all comes with time when everyone's like, oh, I don't have a green thumb. There's no such thing. You put in the time, you do the research, you learn the plant, you know, you guys find a routine with each other. And anybody, I feel like, can grow plants. You just have to find the ones that, you know,
work for your lifestyle.
Mm-hmm. That's it.
Exactly.
Yeah. And if you want to keep your journal, keep it, you know, if that helps you create more data for yourself,
right,
to learn more. But yes, it is a very interesting shift of going from not having knowledge to having it, and how you kind of manipulate and control that through whatever, however that looks like. A lot of people use Instagram, you know, or social media as a way to document their routines and, you know, whatever they do.
I do love to look back, like at a first point, you look at your picture, like there are baby pictures.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, when they first came home from the nursery.
Exactly. I always encourage my clients to take a picture when they first get their plant so that they can see maybe in 6 months or a year what it looks like now. Because I think it helps them and empowers them to see, okay, I am doing something.
Exactly. Right. Yeah. Exactly.
Because if you see a plant like day to day, every single day, you don't notice that growth, right? Until you compare it to that initial first picture when you first brought the plant home. And then you're like, oh, wow, you really did.
Oh my God. Exactly. Yeah. Here's a really morbid thought, though, that has crossed my mind every now and again. It's like, oh, my God, but what if something happens to me? No one in this house knows how to take care of any of these plants. Like, I should be writing a little of this down.
Mm-hmm.
And
it'll be in my will.
Right. We need plant wills. So, it's like, I do.
Well, Camilla, you're getting all my plants if something happens to me. So you live in a big house, so I hope you don't mind an extra 100 plus.
Tell the people in your life because they won't know. No, I'm kidding.
Also, I just have to say, because everything in my life is a plant life parallel, what you were saying about taking photos of your plants, like I had this green wall in my old apartment, and when I potted it up, those Wally Grow pockets, so many of us have them, you know, the plants were tiny. They didn't even trail.
Yeah.
And I've taken photos of it. And now I've left that apartment. But like, man, I look through those photos and it turned into this epic green wall, the plants attached to the wall. But like, we grew as those plants grew, you know?
Exactly.
And when you watch, I also feel like if we want to kind of bring this back to mental health too, like watching a plant continue to grow when you might feel so static, you know, or stuck. For me in the pandemic, that was like what got me through, being like, okay, there's a new leaf. Like I feel stuck right now. These plants are growing. We are moving. Time is passing. And there's something beautiful about that. Final question. What does your plant routine mean to you? And why is it important?
I say all the time, plant care is self-care. I feel like...
Hashtag.
Yeah, hashtag. Like, for real, like, you know, wearing the hat of mom, wife, I'm always doing something for someone else. Like, always. My plants is just, I'm doing this for me. You know, no one else in this house cares at all about these plants, but it's my thing. You know, it has nothing to do with my kids, my husband, what I'm doing, what I'm volunteering for, a client. It's all, you know, it's just about Camille. And I think that it's important that we put ourselves on our to-do list. And my plants really help me do that. So
that's beautiful.
Yeah.
What about you, Paul?
I would say for me, because it's basically just me living in this apartment. So I have no significant other that I have to worry about or anything.
Yet.
Exactly. But if someone listening to the podcast would like to change that and they live in New York, let me know. I mean, just even looking at them gives you that little boost of serotonin and they're just also unique and all that, but also kind of gives you a sense of responsibility and like,
yeah,
I'm doing something good. So I enjoy that aspect, like knowing that they're doing well under my care, but for the most part. But yeah.
And I can only imagine after like wrangling a bunch of children, well, not children, you used to teach high school science, but like it must be so nice to come back and have, you know, your plants that you can care for in your own way after like being in a classroom, whether it's Zoom or in real life. Like it must be so nice to be able to come home to them.
Yes. They don't talk back. They do what exactly. I want them to do. They don't annoy me.
They look just the way you want them to. You can style them.
They're clean. They don't have dirty hands. You know, anything weird.
None of those moods.
None of those moods.
Teenage angst.
Yeah, I don't have to deal with that.
I love that. What about you, Tiffany?
Very similar to what you all said. Plant care is definitely synonymous with self-care for me. Going back to what you were saying too, Maria, with how you find that your plants are almost a mirror and reflection to how you're caring for yourself. I think that my plant maintenance routine is definitely like, or my plant care routine in general is definitely like a mirror on how I'm taking care of myself as well. And I'm really grateful that I have that. Like I have not only, you know, it's hard for me sometimes to like really, in my depressive episodes, when I'm like, it's difficult for me to get out of bed. Like I know that I need to care for my plants because no one else will. And the fact that I can take care of them and they can bloom, blossom, and grow from my own care is just so fulfilling. And going back to what Camille was saying with being a little bit morbid, like they would not survive without me. And so, yeah, it's just, it's nice to know that you have something that is completely dependent on your own time and care that you put into them. Yeah, I do really think that plants are the gateway to healing in so many ways.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I agree.
That's beautiful. Gosh, this plant care routine panel got deep real quick, guys. Well, you're all just amazing plant friends. I've loved connecting with you online on Clubhouse. Where can everyone be your plant friend? So you all have plenty businesses or side hustles in this space, along with like amazing social media accounts, TikToking, Clubhousing, Instagramming, all of it. So can we just, yeah, Pinteresting, all of it. So can we just all, I'd love to just know what it is you have to offer and also where people can find you so everybody can keep in touch. Cause I have a feeling everybody's going to want to keep in touch with you after listening to this episode. Paul, what about you? Plant me, Paul.
So I guess Instagram is the main way. Plant me, Paul. I am on TikTok. After years of saying, no, I'm not going to do it, but I finally joined. So same thing, Plant Me Paul. And yeah, if anyone has any questions about plants, I could try and help, or consulting, styling, anything like that, and you're in New York, they can also email me at plantmepaul@gmail.com.
And you do plant consulting, right?
Yeah.
You're growing it.
I'm trying.
Yeah. It's available.
It's a bloom and grow type thing.
It's a bloom and grow. You're blooming and growing as blooming a plant consultant in New York City.
Especially during the summer, because I have all this, you know, extra free time. So.
Right.
Yeah. That's clever to just like teach and then summer hours, you're just like open to do that. That's super cool.
Side question for you, Paul. Do your high school students ever like find you on your Instagram or TikTok?
And then yes.
Yeah.
On my Instagram. Yeah. They've already used like my photo to like Zoom bomb a Zoom class. So yeah, they inevitably find me. And even I think a parent or two might even follow me or something. I don't know. Because I've definitely had a parent comment on, I think, a photo or something. So,
oh my God.
What are you going to do?
What are you going to do?
What are you going to do?
Got to do you. That's all.
Yeah. I'm like, I don't know why you want to follow me, but okay.
All right. What about you, Camille? Plant blurred.
Plant blurred. You can find me on Instagram, TikTok, and Pinterest, all under Plant Blurred. And I also recently launched my line of blurdy, nerdy plant merchandise with all of my, you know, where horticultural meets pop culture t-shirt line.
Love it.
So cool. And that's, I'm sure, is that on your website or is that on your Instagram?
That's on plantblur.com.
Okay, cool.
And you can also email me at info@plantblur.com.
Perfect. And what about you, Tiffany?
So you can find me at Plant Mama, spelt M-A-H, like my last name. You can find me at Plant Mama on Instagram, TikTok, starting a Pinterest, but haven't gotten there yet.
Oh, I'll follow.
Gotta do it.
I am also a houseplant consultant and interior plant stylist. So you can reach me at plantmama@gmail.com. I'm trying to relaunch my Etsy shop right now. So that's my next little plant project. And my next one is...
Are you going to sell plants?
Yeah, I'm going to sell
Etsy? Plants. Yeah, oh, cool. Exactly. And in Canada?
Yeah.
Okay,
Canada.
Cool.
Yeah, within Canada. Because logistics of shipping to the States is just crazy, unfortunately. But yeah, also trying to get a website out so that I can put all that out there. But we'll talk about that later.
Everybody's handles and websites will be linked. Go follow these wonderful plant friends. Thank you guys. What a special conversation. I'm so honored to have been joined by you.
Yes. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you so much, Maria. It was such a pleasure.
Okay. Thank you so much. Once again, all of their links and websites and bios and whatever are in the show notes, but Tiffany from Plant Mama, M-A-H, Camille from Plant Blurred, and Paul from Plant Me Paul. They're lovely people. I really enjoyed this conversation. And this conversation has really inspired me to keep this kind of plant friend hang format going. So if you have suggestions, let me know. I'm really excited about it. Also, the topic of mental health came up on this conversation. I know that a lot of us have been struggling about it. I shared a little bit about my struggles, and I just can't recommend enough, my plant friends, if you're struggling, reach out and find a health provider, find a psychologist, find a psychiatrist, someone who can help you work through these problems. Going back to therapy was probably the best decision I made in 2021, and I only just wish I had started earlier. Man, it's just my mission to help this community connect and grow together. Apart, whether it's listening to a podcast like this in your earbuds or whether it's engaging on a community app and meeting other people like you and feeling seen, or whether it's, I don't know, other big things that are coming soon. So I just love you all so much. I feel very connected to you and I feel very honored to be a part of your planty journey. So until next time, my sweet plant friends, keep blooming and keep growing. Plant friend, thank you for tuning in today. If you like what you heard, make sure you're subscribed to the show so you never miss an episode. And while you're there subscribing, why don't you click over to the review section and leave us a review? It would be tremendously helpful for the show, so thanks in advance. If you're looking for more planty content or ways to help and support the show or engage with our community, we've got a ton of options for you. So first, there's the free Bloom and Grow Plant Parent Personality Test. It is a super fun 3-minute test that I made for you that pairs you with your plant parent personality profile, where you'll learn your planty strengths and weaknesses and get a curated list of plants, projects, and podcast episodes that are right up your alley, tailored just for you. The test lives at bloomandgrowradio.com/personality, and you have to let me know what your results are on Instagram. You can find me on Instagram at Bloom and Grow Radio. If you're interested in supporting Bloom and Grow Radio, consider becoming a Patreon plant friend of the show. Patreon plant friends are members of the community who support the show monetarily on a monthly basis for as little as $4 a month, and these magical humans help support the show and bring our content to as many planty eyes and ears as possible. Once you join, you'll also get the secret password to our Facebook group, which I like to call the plantiest corner of the internet. We have a lot of fun over there. You can become a Patreon plant friend at patreon.com/bloomandgrowradio. And of course, you can also just join our newsletter that I like to call the Garden Club. When you join our Garden Club, you'll receive a free download of the exclusive Molly Mansfield Keep Blooming print, which is so adorable. And I'll slide into your inboxes, usually only around twice a month, with plant care tips, recent episodes, and announcements. You can join at bloomandgrowradio.com/community. And for anything else, plant friends, I'm here for you. So feel free to drop me a line when you have an idea for an episode, an event, or maybe even if you're a planty business interested in sponsoring the show. Thanks again for listening. It is my honor and delight to help you keep blooming and keep growing. Plant friends, propagate knowledge, and grow some freaking joy. That's the motto of the Growing Joy Garden Society app and platform, otherwise known as the plantiest and kindest corner of the internet. If you've been an OG listener or a longtime listener, you might also know this app and platform as the Bloom and Grow Garden Party, but with the rebrand, we've rebranded it to the Growing Joy Garden Society. No trolls allowed, kind plant friends only. And if you haven't heard about the society yet, Plant Friend, you got to join. It's my online community that you can access via iOS or Android app or on your computer that I built to connect our international community of plant friends so we can all nerd out together about plants and celebrate our passion for our beloved plant babies. We have members literally all over the world. I'm so in love with this community of sweet plant friends. I can't say enough amazing things about them. But also, there's a lot of really cool features about the app you might be interested in. There's dedicated hashtags to all sorts of different subsects of planty passions like houseplants, gardening, plant-inspired DIY projects, growing joy, plants and pets, and so many more. There's a plantrepreneur group, so if you're a planty entrepreneur and you want to connect with other planty entrepreneurs, you can join that group to connect and network. There's a plant swap section. Plus, the entire app, and this is my favorite part, is entirely searchable. So say you want to learn more about Hoya, you type the word Hoya into the search bar, and literally every post ever created about Hoya will pop up so you can click in, see what other people have been posting about Hoya and learn on your own and crowdsource hair information. It's so cool. But last but not least, it's an amazing way to support the show. Your monthly membership not only goes to sustaining the platform, but it also supports my team of editors, writers, and a community manager that help the world of Bloom and Grow keep growing. So come join us. All you got to do is go to jointhegardensociety.com and sign up for the community plan. Once again, you go to jointhegardensociety.com and click the community plan. Hot take, plant friends. There is no one right starter plant. There, I said it. And you know what? While I'm at it, there are also no real plant killers in the world. There are just people who have not figured out their right plants for their lifestyle. This is why I created the free Plant Parent Personality Test, because Plant Friend, I want you to get thriving alongside your houseplants as quickly as possible, so I made this cutie little Plant Parent Personality Quiz that's totally free for you on my website to take the guesswork out of building your plant collection effortlessly and joyfully. After speaking to thousands of members in our community, I realized that there are about 5 key plant parent personalities, each one with their unique set of strengths, weaknesses, and a unique set of plants that thrive under their care. For example, a mindful plant parent, someone who wants to engage with their plants daily, use them in their morning routines. If someone gifted that plant parent a succulent and they watered it every day, that succulent would die immediately. However, that drought-resistant succulent is a perfect match for a low-key plant parent, which is someone who travels, has kids, is busy, doesn't have time to engage with their plants every day. They're looking to engage with their plants more like once a week or once every couple of weeks. In addition, obviously, to understanding your light and basic plant care that we provide on this podcast, Happy Plant Parenthood is all about discovering your personality and then picking the right houseplants to go with it. It's that simple. No more stressing over your collection. So what plant parent personality type are you, plant friend? All you got to do to find out is take my free quiz on my website and let me know. You can access it at growingjoywithmaria.com/personality. After taking the test, you'll get an email with a list of plants, podcast episodes, and planty projects that I think would light you specifically up like a full spectrum grow light. So once again, that's growingjoywithmaria.com/personality for your free plant parent personality test results.